Today we're in part two of the series called Baggage. We all have baggage. We all have histories. We all have things we've done maybe that we are not proud of. Amen? Have you done something you're not proud of? And you hope it wasn't recorded on video? One time my son, who was very little, was acting out in public. So I took him to the corner and I had to have a talk with him. And then I look up and there's a camera. And I'm like, oh God. I left really quickly with him. You don't remember this. You were like 3 years old. Maybe two. Two. Terrible twos. And I'm still thinking, man, I'm glad I didn't get caught. I'm glad I'm not running for president. Amen. But everything we do, especially in this day and age, is recorded. Did you know that? But the truth is that everything the humanity has done since beginning of Adam and Eve has been recorded. Did you know that God has a high quality video camera on each and every one of you? But that camera is not just based on what we do. It's what we think. It can see our heart. And it's with you 24/7. What you say, what you do, what you think, what you commit, what you omit, that camera is with you full time. And so as we listen to what's happening in politics, what people has done 20 years ago is now coming up, and it is a big deal. What people has done 30 years is not now coming up. Now there's new charges being brought because of what happened in the past. And we fear the media, don't we? We fear. We don't want to be shown on Kelo News. We don't want to be on KSFY News. But there's one we should fear more. And that's the one who sees everything. And the one who has life in his hand. Our life in his hand. Who controls the course of our life. Who guides when you live, when you die. And that's God Almighty, your Creator. He's watching everything. But our Creator understands that we are sinners. And sinners sin. Can we just like relax today and say, he's probably going to talk about my sin, but it's not just about me. It's about all of us. We all sin because sinners sin. And so today we're going to talk about how to get rid of certain baggage out of our life. And today I'm going to talk about a subject called hate and racism. How to deal with haters. And maybe how to deal with yourself if you are a hater. Amen. I want to open to our Bibles to set up the foundation for my message. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God. Have you ever said that? But hates a fellow believer. That person is a liar. You don't love God. For if we don't love people who we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? The next scripture, 1 John 3:15. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. Do you remember hate? Murder happens first in the heart. And then it comes outside. About a month ago, I said that hate is a murder without any power. Because when a king has a power to murder somebody, and he knows he's not going to get caught or judged for it. Notice, kings don't have a problem killing people. People like Gaddafi, people like Saddam Hussein, people like that, they just kill people they don't like. It's like, really? You can't just like live with it like the rest of us, right? The rest of us have to live with people we don't like, not kings. When they have hate in their heart, because they have the power, right? And so anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers actually haters here. Did you know that haters, read it with me, don't have eternal life within them. If you don't have eternal life within you, you're not going to spend eternity with God. Hammer time. Hammer time. That kind of hits you, right? It hits you in the head. Today, I want to talk to you about our baggage of hate. We're going to talk about the topic of hate and racism. Now, racism is a complicated subject, especially for a white boy like me to preach about. And so I don't pretend to know all the answers. I don't. Actually, nobody knows all the answers. If we did, we would have already solved the problem of racism in America and in the world. Okay? However, just because we don't have any answers doesn't mean we should stay silent about it. We might not have the answers, but we're going to look at the Word of God, and it's going to give us answers. Amen? So we're going to look at the Word of God. Now, did you know that racial reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel? Did you know that racial reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel? Some of you didn't. God cares deeply how we treat one another. Remember, God is a father and he has many children, and all of his children are different. Amen. I wouldn't want all my children to be exactly the same. I want my children, I love the diversity. I love the diversity of my son. I call him, he's my favorite son, because I only have one son. And then I have two beautiful daughters, and they're all different. They all have different personalities. Okay? And so does God. God created all of us different. God cares deeply how we treat one another. God cares deeply how we treat one another. Did you know that God doesn't tolerate injustice or racism? In 2 Chronicles, this is Old Testament, Chronicles 19:7. Fear the Lord and judge with integrity. For our Lord God does not tolerate, read it, perverted justice, partiality. That word partiality is the old word for racism. God doesn't tolerate perverted justice, meaning if you're rich, you get better justice. If you're poor, you don't get any justice. We see this playing out right now in our nation, guys. We see what our people at the top can get away with. You would have been in jail a long time ago, or I. But notice, God does not tolerate perverted. And I think God is judging us right now. I think God is really beginning to judge us, because the truth is coming out. And notice, as much as we try to, as our people high up trying to hide it, somehow it's coming out. It's coming out. It's coming out about both politicians. Can't hide it. It's coming out. No, notice this. Our Lord God does not tolerate perverted justice, partiality, that's racism, treating somebody based on what they look like, partiality, or the taking of bribes, payoff, you know. You sweep my sin under the rug, and I'm going to pay you into your campaign. And it happens on all kinds of levels. God does not tolerate racism. God does not tolerate hate. Now, there are many different degrees of attitudes about race. I'm going to give you 7 degrees of attitudes about race. They go from the worst to the best. Okay? From where God does not want you to be to where God wants you to be. Now, if you're writing these notes, please write this down. The first degree and the worst degree is a racist. What is a racist? It's a person who hates, bullies, and discriminates people who are not like him or her. That's the first degree and the worst degree. Now, number two, it's a little lesser, but it's a bigot. Bigot is the one who believes stereotype and belittles people. They don't mind telling a joke about another race. They don't mind laughing at it and putting people down. It happened a lot in our world. It happens a lot between buddies and it happens a lot. Number three, a little lesser degree, is an avoider. A person who is uncomfortable around races or race, people of other races. So he just avoids them. He's just like, yeah, I know some people in my church, but I don't hang out with them. I don't want nothing to do with them. It's uncomfortable. I don't want nothing to do with it. Avoider. Are you an avoider? Okay. Number four is insensitive. This person is just, he's not a racist, bigot, or avoider. He just doesn't care. He's insensitive. He doesn't feel for people. For example, he doesn't care what hurts you. He says, hey, grow up. That shouldn't hurt you. You shouldn't feel that way. The truth is, try telling that to your wife, gentlemen. Right? When your wife feels a certain way, if you want to start a World War III in your home, when she says, I feel this, and you say, are you for real? Come on. You shouldn't feel like that. Grow up. That's so baby. You're just acting like a baby. You want war in your house? Be insensitive. You don't get to tell people how they feel. Right? If I stepped on your toe today and you said, ow, I said, don't be a baby. That doesn't hurt. Well, let me step on your toe. Oh, no. Right? You don't get to tell other people how they feel. Okay? So a lot of people are insensitive. We're just like, you know, that's not really going on. That's not really happening. People are not treating you different. It's all in your head. Are you saying I'm crazy? Don't tell that to your wife. Okay? You might have troubles in your marriage. Number five, you're not a racist, bigot, avoider, insensitive. You're apathetic. You just don't care. You just don't care about what people are going through. Just like, I just don't want to deal with it, so I don't care. Number six is, this is going into right direction now. You're sensitive. Okay? You're sensitive. You're kind to people. You're fair. You're inclusive. You're helpful to people. You're sensitive. When you see somebody other than you, for example, if you see somebody who is from another country and they don't speak any English, you're sensitive. You want to help. You want to be helpful. You want to get to know them. Thank you. Yes, that's right. Amen. You want to be sensitive to that. Amen. Do you need any help? How can I help you? Pretty much attitude. But that's not, being sensitive is not the highest quality or attitude towards racism. Being sensitive is good, but it's not where God wants us to be. And I want to show you where God wants us to be. Number seven is reconciler. Reconciliator. I don't know. Help me out with the word. Somebody who actively builds bridges. If you know what God wants us to be on race, He wants us to actively build bridges with people who are different than us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says this. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And watch this. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Another translation says, God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. God reconciled us to himself, and he has also given us a ministry, administer of reconciliation. The highest form or attitude towards racism is bringing people together. Bringing people together. Now, we live in a culture right now, guys, if you're honest, where there's a lot of shouting about race. Racism, racism, racism. But notice nobody's doing anything about it. Everybody just yelling things about it. Where is how? Tell us how. We know there is a problem. We know there is a problem in our nation, but how do we fix it? How do we get reconciled with one another? How do we fix this problem? And I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I'm going to give you a few ideas. Now, I gave you 7 points, right? Where are you on that scale? From a racist, bigot, avoider, insensitive, apathetic, sensitive, or reconciler? Where are you? Some of you are like, I'm the reconciler, or I'm sensitive. Well, you actually shouldn't ask yourself, where are you? You should ask other people. You should ask other people. You should say, hey, where do you think I am on that list? Because usually we think of ourselves better than we are. But ask somebody else, and they'll tell you who you are for real. Amen. Now, why does God hate racial prejudice? Why? Number one, racial prejudice questions God's creation. Number one, racial prejudice questions God's creation. God loves variety. Look at our creation, guys. We don't have just one type of fish. We were on vacation. We went snorkeling. Not scuba diving, but snorkeling. And we brought some bread with us. You know, you take a whole bunch of bread, you squeeze it, and you hold it tight like this. And the fish come, and they bite you. And some of them, like Junior, got bit, and he had blood. I'm like, get out of the water, because sharks might come next. Right? But if you just go underwater, it's not just one type of fish. There's a clownfish, there's a tiger fish, there's, I don't know, all kinds, and it's beautiful. It would be boring. Wouldn't it be boring to just look at one type of fish? God is a diverse God. God is a creative God, so that's why we have different races. That's why we have different color people. That's why we have this diversity. God is diverse. God. If you look at heaven, even heaven has different races. Not racist. Race. Races. Okay. Even heaven has different races. There's different types of angels. Do you know there's not just one type of angels? There's cherubs. There is archangels. There's angels with wings. There's angels with 6 wings. There's angels full of eyes. Right? They cover their legs in the glory of seraphims. They cover their legs. They cover their face. And they fly with one and they cover their eyes. I mean, there's diversity in heaven. Not just one type of angel, one for all. No, even in heaven, God is very diverse. I believe, now I can't prove it by the Bible, but I do believe that God has multicolor angels. Okay? In my life, I had a visitation of 3 angels over the last 12 years. Over the last 12 years, and 2 of them were white, but not white. They were different nationality white. Okay? And 1 was black. The last one in August, I told you that story. The angel that came and gave me the message, you know the message, right? You're curious if you're new. He said, I came here to give you a message. I said, what's the message? He said, God loves you. And I said, I know that. And he said, in my mind, I said, I know that to him. And he said, no, you don't. God loves you. And he was black. He had like dreads, like some of our people in our church have, you know? Amen. Some like our church, right? And so, and he was big, and he was actually, he reminded me of Freddie, who used to go to this church. Now he lives in Minneapolis. I called Freddie right away. I said, Freddie, you won't believe this. Freddie is my friend. I said, he's big too. And I'm like, Angel was like you, just more muscly. Freddie had a little, yeah, this angel had no this. He had all this, washboard type. And so I can't prove it by the Bible, so don't take it as a theology. But I was amazed because in my head, angels were white. Because I'm white. But they're not. Listen to me. They're not all white. And I'm glad in a series, The Bible, when angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah, they were Asian. Right? And they had amazing swords. They were like Jackie Chan. Everybody's dead. Right? I'm glad they showed it. And that's the truth, people. That's the truth. This world is God's world. He created this. Amen. Thank you. Wow, that man is going to be, you should put him in a front row. And I'll train him. I'll just say what to tell him, like, amen, pastor, preach it. And I had a wedding a couple of weeks ago, and I trained these boys, and they were amazing. They were like, preach it. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Here's some candy. No, I'm not joking either. Truth, right? I did that. That was the funnest wedding I've ever been to. It was awesome. I mean, it was like, it was alive. Like, it wasn't quiet. It wasn't boring. It was like the crowd was moving. People were standing up. I'm like, we're in the South somewhere in a church. Amen. So, racial prejudice questions God's creation. When you have hate towards other races, and this could happen, this happens a lot with white towards black, but it also happened black towards white. So racism is a common issue to all of us. And I'm going to prove it to you. But when we ignore or belittle people of other races, we're saying, God, you should have created all of us like me. You're limiting God. You're saying, God, you're so small, you should be small-minded. Because you should have made everybody like me. Aren't you glad that not everybody is like you? Aren't you glad there is a diversity? And in our church, there is a huge diversity here. Amen. Amen. Number two, racial prejudice is a sign of ignorance. When people who are racist, they don't know what they're talking about. I want to read a scripture, Acts 17:26. From one man, he created all nations through the whole earth. Who is it? God. He decided beforehand where they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. Listen to me. I don't care what race you are today. You didn't choose to be that race. You know who did? God. God chose for you to be. Guys, did you know that you could have been born in 13th century, Middle East, wars upon wars, plagues upon plagues, right? Where army comes in, and if you can't defeat that army, they'll kill all the men, and they'll take women and children, and they'll do bad things to women, and then they enslave the children. Aren't you glad you weren't born there? You didn't choose. I'm from America. You didn't choose to be in America. God did. So what are you bragging about? What are you? I'm from the South. You didn't even choose to be in the South. God chose for you to be there. I'm good looking. Yes, I am. You didn't choose to be good looking or how you look. So what are you bragging about? Did you make yourself look this way? Well, maybe you did some makeup and things, added, you know, a little bit, you know. But God chose you the way you are. He chose. From one man, He created all nations through the whole earth, all races through the whole earth. You need to understand that. You can't be ignorant. One race is not better than the other. From one man, we come from one man, James, but racial prejudice is a sign of ignorance. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism right there. Wisdom has no racism. Favoritism, you know what that is? And so it shows no favoritism, and it is always sincere. You could be very educated and have no wisdom. Because if you have wisdom, you cannot be a racist or hateful. You can be very educated and you can know right from wrong and still be a racist. In the news, you can see people who shout against racism, then get caught on a video being racist. It's like, didn't you tell everybody how everybody's racist? But really, you were racist. So you had all the knowledge, but you had no wisdom. Wisdom from above. Bible does not even talk about human wisdom or worldly wisdom. It talks about, but wisdom from above is first, all pure, peace loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and it is always sincere. That's the kind of wisdom God wants us to have. Amen. Amen. Number three, racial prejudice disobeys the great commandment and great commission. Jesus said, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? That's the great commandment. What is great commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Don't go just to your race. Go into all the world. Don't discriminate. See, but when you are a racist, when you have this indifference to different race, you can't go to those people. You can't preach the gospel to the people you hate. People are going to see that. People are going to see that you don't love them and they're not going to receive nothing from you. So great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Great commission, go into all the world. You can't do that unless you love people. Racial prejudice disobeys great commandment and great commission. You can't go and tell people about Jesus. You can't get people saved if you hate Him. Now, I'm glad that our church is a little different. Because if you look at our church, there's all many nations. There's Hispanics in this church. There's Asians in this church. There's Eastern Europeans in this church. There is natives in this church. There's Africans in this church. Amen. And if you look at our church, you'll see a lot of natives. You won't see that in a regular church. If you look at our church, there is a lot of Eastern European. There's a lot of black people. There's a lot of Hispanic people. We're really diverse church. Amen. Amen. Galatians 5:14 and 15. I'm proving everything with the Bible because I don't have a lot of answers. So I'm going to the Bible. Amen. For the whole law can be consumed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now the Pharisees, they always have a but. Hold on, Pastor. Just like Pharisees in Jesus' time, so are Pharisees in our time. They're like, but who's my neighbor, huh? Huh? Who's my neighbor? Tell me. Who's my neighbor? Hold on. So Jesus goes and tells a story. He says, there was a man walking from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he got beaten by robbers. They beat him up. They took his clothes, his money, everything, and they left him naked, unable to move on the side of the road. A priest walks by. He says, I got to go to church. Sorry, I can't help you. Walks by. A Levi walks by. Who else is there? Is there a third guy too? Yes. And then there was this Samaritan. Who was the Samaritan? Samaritans were minority in Israel who were abused by Israelites. Right? Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They wouldn't eat together. Remember the woman at the well said Jews and Samaritans don't deal with each other. They don't even come to each other's towns. Talk about prejudice. Talk about racism in a God nation. This was God's people. And Jews were really racist against Samaritans. And obviously Samaritans, now who were Samaritans? Samaritans were Jews who lost their lineage. They couldn't say who their grandfather was and how they're connected to Israel, to Abraham. They were the people who were mixed. They were Jews mixed with Gentiles through intermarriages. And Jews says, you are impure. You can't be my neighbor. That's why the Pharisees said, who's my neighbor? Because Samaritans are not my neighbor. Right? And then Jesus tells this story. He says, the Samaritan was walking by this naked man. And when everybody else passed him by, the naked man was a Jew. And everybody skipped him. Samaritan came, picked him up, took him to the hospital, got him cleaned up, paid money to the hotel, and said, take care of this man. And when I come back, I will repay you for any extras, money that you need. And then Jesus asked, who is the neighbor to this man who was beaten? Who was his neighbor? He was a Jew. He says, that's Samaritan, right? Notice the gospel is all about reconciliation. I think in our churches, in Christian churches, we should talk more about reconciliation. We should talk more about racism. We should talk more about how to bring people together, not just be apathetic or insensitive, not just be like, we don't want to touch that subject. It's a politically... Politics cannot, listen to me, politics cannot solve this problem. You can't write a law to fix racism. Old Testament, God even tried to fix people by law. Well, he knew he didn't really, I'm just saying. God used the law to help people. Notice, by the works of law, no man could be saved. We're not justified by the law. Law does not change the heart. It makes us Pharisaical, hard-hearted people who obey some of his commandments. The law is not going to save us. You can pass all the criminal laws. It's not going to change the hearts of people. It's something bigger. Shaming will not change people because they will learn not to say it on Facebook. But when they're with their buddies in a shop, you should hear them sometimes. These are Christians. Hammer time. Hammer time. But I know our church is different. I know God is building something different here. God is building something different. That's why you're here. Because a racist would not even come and listen to this pastor with an accent. Really, really. You're a different breed. I think you are either God changed your heart or you're just, I don't know how you're here, but you are. Amen. They told me not to say the word anymore, so yes. We're trying to reach young people, so I'm going to be cool. I got to be cool, everybody. Now, racial prejudice is a serious sin. Point number four, racial prejudice is a serious sin. James 2:9. But if you favor some people over others, you're committing a sin. You're guilty of breaking the law. And then God says, whoever breaks the law will be judged by the law. So what God is saying is that that favoritism is a sin. Did you even know that? Now we talk about smoking, drinking, this, that, you know, sexual sins. But favoritism. When was the last time in church we said that it was a sin? I better use some of those in my examples. I beat up people on some things. But I got to talk about favoritism because we have bigger issues in our church with favoritism than with even other sins that usually we talk about in churches. But there it is. If you favor some people over others, you're committing a sin. Racism is a sin. Now, I'm not going to say, you need to change. I'm not going to say, you must change, blah, blah, blah. Because I can't. You can't really change yourself. Listen to me. It has to be a heart change. And I'm going back to the verse, create in me a clean heart. Now, when you think about it, I don't want you to start, I'm not going to be a racist anymore. I'm not going to be hateful anymore. Because you really can't. What you can do is try to white knuckle it. I'm going to force myself for a little bit. And then you're going to just explode. The best way to get rid of racism or hate in your heart is start praying. God, create in me a clean heart. Create something in me. Because everything comes out of our heart. Our mind. Everything is out of there. That's the wellspring. That's a spring of our life. Amen. And so racial prejudice is a serious sin. Now, racism is the most common sin in the world. Write this down. Racism is not just an American problem. Listen to this. I know we're running out of time and you're antsy. Racism is the most common sin in the world. It's not just an American problem, and it's not just a white or black thing. I was born in Ukraine at 12. I just turned 12, and my parents moved me here, which was the best thing that ever happened to me. And so I feel for illegals. I know why they want to come here. I would too. And if you were in their shoes, you'd be training a marathon for... You would be, I'm telling you. Now, they should do it legally. I know, but just think about it. I'm so glad my parents brought me here. Sometimes I have nightmares. And that nightmare is I'm a little boy and they take me back and they leave me there. That's a nightmare. That's how my life was there. I remember the school where if you're a Christian, you're like the minority. Because there was only three people in my class who were Christians. And two hit it so well. I was the only one blabber. Talked about Jesus to people. And then I would fight with them if they hurt me. Turn the other cheek. I didn't learn that. It didn't hit yet, you know, right away. But fighting to defend other people, actually, most of the times. And myself sometimes, too. Never bully, honestly. Never would beat people up for no reason. I just would try to defend people. I hated when other people would, you know, hurt people. But anyway, where am I going with this? What? Somewhere, okay. Is the most common sin in the world. In Ukraine, Eastern Ukrainians hate Western Ukrainians, and Western Ukrainians hate Easter Ukrainians. In Poland, there is a group of Polish people who hates the group of other Polish people, and vice versa. In Rwanda, how many of you know this? There's Hutu and Tutsi. They hate each other. Same people, same nation. They hate each other. You think racism is just black and white and it's just in America? It's not. It's the most common human problem in the world. We dislike people who are different than us. And we say, like, you know that around the world they say those fat Americans, lazy Americans? Is that true? Would you like to be spoken like that of? No, because every nation has fat people. Every nation has skinny people. That's not true. And actual Americans are not lazy. They're the most hardworking people in the world. In Mexico, they have siestas. We don't even have siestas. You know, in Europe, they take 1 month's vacation a year at a time. When was the last time you took a 1 month vacation? The most productive country, the most country that creates and produces and makes things is United States. But imagine if you come to another country and all they say, you're fat, lazy American. I'm not even fat. And you're calling me, you see what I mean? And so what we do is we find maybe what sticks. We find something that sticks to people and we keep using it and using it and using it till it becomes, it's not true, it becomes a lie. Commonly accepted lie. Commonly accepted lie. Commonly accepted lie. And then we start judging people based on what we've heard. I've been in other countries and they talk about us like that. I'm a great American too now. So they talk about us. And I start defending because I can't help. Remember on the bus? This driver, oh my goodness, he was unloading and I was defending. And he didn't have any facts. And I got him on that. Anyway, so it's a common problem. Armenians hate other Armenians. Even Jews hate other Jews because they worship differently. It's the most common thing. Racism is hate and what do you call disunity? What do you call that? Division. I think Satan knows that if we were, imagine if we didn't have to fight the problem of racism, we all loved each other. What could we do as a nation? We could focus on helping people. We can focus on, but we're fighting and shouting at each other right now. And it's been happening for years and nothing is getting done. Because I think church has to be the example. We have to work on models. We have to work on preaching this gospel. We have to find a solution so the world can learn from us. And I'm so glad our church, New Life Church, is a different. And when we started a church, I had a prophetic word that God said, this church is going to be a model for other churches and community. And I believe that. What's happening here someday is going to be a model of what God is doing. Because once God wants to unite all people. Amen. All people and all nations together. Amen. Amen. Racism is a problem of sin, not skin. Write this down. Racism is a problem of sin, not skin. And God wants to deliver you from the baggage of your sin and my sin. Man, this is good, and I have so much more, and I can't. Did you know that even West people, South Dakota, West South Dakota hates East South Dakota? They call us flatlanders. Did you know that? It's like, really? I just found that out today in my pre-sermon meeting. I'm like, really? Chinese hate Japanese, Japanese, Chinese, Mexico and Guatemala. I mean, racism is not a skin problem. Racism is a sin problem. So God deals in the Bible very harshly with racists. Now, this sermon might not change your mind, but I hope you at least have the information. God deals harshly in the Bible with racists. I'm going to give you three examples. In the book of Esther, there's a guy named Haman, Agagite. He hates the Jews. He is a powerful man. He's next in command to Cyrus, the Assyrian king, the most powerful man in the world. He's second in command. He has this man who does not bow to him, Mordecai. So he goes home. He hates Jews so much, he builds poles, hanging poles, where you hang people. He builds those. I'm not going to give you the story because I got to finish this message, but God deals harshly with Haman. Those poles that were built to hang the Jews, God turns, and Haman and his whole family, his seven sons, or whatever sons he had, were hanged in one day on the poles that he built. God deals harshly with racism. Example number two, Moses' wife probably died. Moses, the prophet, the one who wrote Ten Commandments, led people out of Egypt to Israel. He marries an Ethiopian wife. She's very black. And he's, you know, Middle Eastern. So Miriam, his sister, who's the prophetess of the nation, And Aaron, his brother, Moses' brother, who is the high priest. He's like the pope of the nation. They go against and start murmuring against Moses. How dare he marry somebody of another race? God gets angry. Comes down, says, all three of you, come to my house. Come stand in front of the tabernacle, which is like a tent where God met people. Come here. He says, how dare you speak against Moses? He's my servant. How dare you act racist against that who's my daughter? He's an Ethiopian, but she was a Jew too. And so God says, leprosy will come upon you. And in a moment, leprosy comes on Miriam. If you want to see pictures of leprosy, go on Google and Google it after church. Notice how severe and immediate judgment happens. Severe and immediate on a racist. I believe God does that because you don't mess with that. Listen, you got to be careful because you're wondering, God, why aren't you blessing me? Why? Maybe that's the reason. Immediate judgment upon Miriam, who's the prophetess of the nation, and Aaron is a priest. Moses says, that's my sister, God. Please forgive her. God says, no, for 7 days, don't even come to me. On the seventh day, come and pray. And because of you, I will heal her of leprosy. What was God trying to show us? What was God trying to show Israel? You don't mess with my children, even if they're different than you. Severe and immediate punishment. Example number three, and I have many. Example number three, Jonah was the biggest racist. He's the prophet of Israel. God says, go to Nineveh and go preach and tell him the good news or the bad news at that time. Jonah says, no, I hate those people. They are pigs. They're Baal worshipers. They're pagans. They are, and whatever you put in the name. Guess what God does? Do you think God gives him a peaceful life? There's no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. Listen to me. There's no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. He goes on a boat, tries to go the other way. God stops him. They throw him out of the boat. Nowhere in history where the fish ate a man. It sounds improbable, impossible, improbable. And for 3 days, the racist is in the belly of the deep fish. Probably lost his hair, probably stank like I don't know what. Being in the digestive juices of the fish. Till he repented and said, I'll go. I'll go. And so he goes. And God saves the nation. There's many more examples where punishment is severe and immediate. Politics can't solve this. Media can't shame you into it. It has to be the heart change. And so our prayer today is, how do we get rid of this baggage? Because we, on some level, we all have it. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Our vision at New Life Church is, we don't want to be a church that tolerates people. Okay, that's not who we want to be. We tolerate black people. No, we are a church of black people. We don't tolerate black people here. We are black people. And black lives matter here. Amen? We're not a church who tolerates Native Americans. We are a church of Native Americans. And Native American lives matter here. We're not a church who tolerates Hispanics. We are a church of Hispanics. Amen? We don't tolerate Hispanics. We are Hispanics. We're not a church of Jewish people who tolerates the Jews. We are a Jewish church. Amen? We're not a church that tolerates Asians. We are an Asian church. We're not a church that tolerates Europeans. We are a European church. All of those European lives matter. Asian life matter. Jewish life matter. Hispanic life matter. Native lives matter. Black lives matter. All lives matter here. Come on, somebody. God gave me a vision of our church, and I believe our church is going to be so diverse. We're going to be black. We're going to be Hispanic. We're all going to be Asian. We're all going to be South American, Latino, whatever you want to call it. We're all going to be Native American. We're going to be that church. God is doing something new. This is a model of what He wants to see in the earth.